the worst attack was in the December, late December, the so-called Christmas Blitz, over the 22nd, 23rd of December. Over 700 people were killed, 80,000 were made homeless, there were over 50,000 incendiary bombs dropped, and over 270 tons of high explosive bombs. So that was over the centre of Manchester, over Hume, over Salford, over Stretford, over Trafford Park, over Cheltenham Medlock. So as you can understand, it was a huge...
And to live through it, I'm sure the memories would stay with you forever. It brought out the best and the worst in people.
Well, yes, a good example of this would be to look at the behaviour in the communal air raid shelters. The best ones had talks, they had community singing, they even had small libraries. In some cases, the Women's Institute were instrumental in providing endless cups of tea. There were even first aid posts and qualified nurses. If someone could sing a song or recite a poem, they got on with that. Although there was one guy in a Gorton shelter who apparently had a habit of reciting "The Green Eye of the Little Yellow God," 110 verses of it every night. Virtually
not so popular. Then
he would have, I think, got on people's nerves. But I mean. It was a positive thing. On the debit side, there were unfortunately some illegal gambling dens, and dare I say, it pains me to record that ladies of the night use them to ply their trade. But we won't go into that.
Yeah.
It's looked at in the book, all right?
So some scandal. I mean, presumably not what the book focuses on, but what else is in your book?
Oh, it's there's a lot of heroism. A lot of medals for gallantry and so on and so forth. One example is a guy who lives close to me, actually, in Chorlton, his name is John Clark. He was a young apprentice at Metrovix at the time, and he was outside a house that had been bombed after the night bombing, and this was in the morning, and a family of five were trapped in the cellar, and the mains water had been ruptured, and so the water was rising fairly rapidly, so it was a matter of some urgency to get the family out. Now, he was very slim at the time, so he went through this small aperture, and he was instrumental in rescuing the family.
Oh,
lots and lots of stories like that.
Yeah.
Another example would be number of gas holders that had incendiary bombs on the top. Obviously, if the top had been punctured, you're talking inferno there, because gas is highly inflammable, of course.
Yeah.
Number of times you just hear about people, ordinary gas worker or auxiliary fireman, climbing up the ladder, getting onto the top, and just simply kicking off the live incendiary bombs into the street.
So extraordinary acts of heroism from ordinary people.
Oh, yeah, and they were saying, "Oh, just my job." You know.
What made you want to do the book, Graham?
Well... Last year, I produced a book called Manchester at War, People's Story, for which I went round a mental tape recorder interviewing people who had actually lived through the Second World War in Manchester. That was not just a blitz, that was evacuation, rationing, VE Day celebrations, and so on and so forth. It was fairly popular, so the publishers, the History Press, said, why don't you do a third-person narrative history just on the Blitz? Because, as you say, this year is the 70th anniversary of the serious bombing from the Luftwaffe on the North West.
Yeah.
So,
And 75 years on, though, still some of the stories that stand out and the funny stories from the horrors, really, that people went through and the warnings that people gave.
There was some black humour. I think that's one of the British ways of dealing with problems. Maybe it's a Mancunian way, I don't know. But my favourite story is an ARP warden. Part of his repertoire was always listen out for things, always use your ears. If you hear the siren, it means get yourself to the nearest place of safety as soon as you can. If you hear the... it means the bomb's fallen. If you hear a harp... it means your shelter was no good.